WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. There may be a lot of Cold War rhetoric over Ukraine, but this was a week of hot rhetoric in the battle over charter schools in New York City. Charters are privately run schools that operate outside the usual public school rules and union teacher contracts, but are publicly funded. Sometimes they even share buildings with regular public schools, which has become one of the issues. You get into a charter school only by lottery, no competitive applications. Most of their students in the city are low-income kids of color. Last week, Mayor de Blasio approved plans for many new charter schools, including five run by the controversial Eva Moskowitz, whose Success Academy chain already includes 22 schools in the city. But the mayor canceled plans for three other Moskowitz schools. From the firestorm that has erupted over those three, you would think he ran her out of town. So for this portion of the show today, we're going to take a step back from all the heat, step away from the fire, and try to explain for those of you not obsessed with the charter wars who these players are and what exactly is going on here. It's de Blasio versus Moskowitz explained to the best of our ability. WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig starts us off for this. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Brian.
And listeners, everything you always wanted to know about de Blasio versus Moskowitz but had no one to ask, now you do. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And here is candidate Bill de Blasio shredding Eva Moskowitz at a campaign event last year.
And another thing that has to change starting January is that Eva Moskowitz cannot continue to have the run. Documented. I have worked, unfortunately in my case, I've had a lot of contact with Eva over the years, and this is documented. She was giving the orders and chancellors were bowing down and agreeing. That's not acceptable. I am someone who believes, like John Lew, there's some charters that work and there's some charters that have contributed. But we need a situation where just because someone's politically connected and has a lot of money behind them, they don't tell the public school system what to do. That doesn't work for New York City.
De Blasio as a candidate last year. But here he is, again, on charters yesterday on Hot 97 Radio.
By the way, last week, we also approved a number of charters that are going to be co-located. So I'm just not going to buy into the hype that tries to misrepresent what happened. We will work with charter schools.
Beth, remind us first exactly what Mayor de Blasio did last week with respect to charter schools for next September.
Okay, so there were a whole bunch of charter schools and other district schools, regular schools, that were approved in the waning months of the Bloomberg administration last year to open starting this coming fall of 2014 and in future years even. And these were controversial because they were going to be opening inside regular city school buildings. So there were a couple of dozen regular schools, and then there were also about 28 charter schools that were going to open in these co-located buildings. There was opposition in some places, as there often is when a school is going to move into another school. There were lawsuits brought by the teachers' union and then by public advocate Tish James, who at the time was still a city council member in December, and Melissa Viverito, also a city council member who's now the council speaker, to block these. And when Mayor de Blasio was elected, he said, well, I'm now going to consider all of these different co-locations, which threw everyone into a tizzy because all these different charter operators were planning to open new schools in the fall, 13 of which were going to be opened by Eva Moskowitz, who runs the Success Academy Network. She is the biggest local charter operator. So a lot of the new schools were going to be hers, but they were also going to be opened by other charter operators. The mayor and the chancellor said they were going to reconsider all of this, And then last week, they decided that they would allow almost all of them to proceed for the coming fall, except for three schools that were run by Eva Moskowitz, two which would be opening brand new with kindergarten and first graders, one which was going to take elementary kids and move them, let them continue in a new middle school location in Harlem, which was going to be in a co-located building. And the reason that the city gave was because they didn't want to displace students already in that building, students in a special education program. The former council member, Eva Moskowitz, who runs the network, says that's not true. They weren't going to displace so many kids. There was room. But regardless, it obviously set off a tizzy because she is such a lightning rod in all of this, and because the mayor chose, of all the schools that were up for co-location, those three charters run by her. Now, one could say she had the most schools, and most of her co-locations will proceed, but the mayor's rationale and the chancellor's rationale was that two of these schools were going to open in high schools, and they didn't think it was appropriate to have elementary school children move into high school buildings, and that this third, which was going to take the middle schoolers and let them continue with Success Academy, was going to displace special education kids. So I should also mention there is a fourth charter run by a totally different network that's not Eva Moskowitz that is not going to expand as much as it planned in the coming fall. They were upset too.
Did I get my numbers wrong? I had said that five Moskowitz charters were approved and three were denied. Did you say that it's 10 were approved and three were denied?
Well, actually, they were going to open not just next fall, but in 2015 and 2016. So altogether at this point, there were five of hers that were approved or allowed to continue opening in the fall and three that were denied.
Assume no knowledge, but infinite intelligence on the part of our listeners, and tell us, who is Eva Moskowitz? Why is she the lightning rod that she is compared to other charter school operators in the city?
Well, Eva was a city council member, and she represented the Upper East Side, and she has a lot of connections. She's a very, very smart woman. She has a PhD in history. She's always taken an interest in education, and she was the education chairwoman of the council when she was in the council. During that time, she was very aggressive, and she held a lot of hearings. She wanted to hold the city's feet to the fire on what they were doing, but she also wanted to hold the union's feet to the fire. So she would examine contracts, the teacher's contract. She had a whole hearing on that. That did not please them, obviously. She also held hearings on why isn't there enough toilet paper in the city schools. You know, she was a very, very aggressive council chair. And when she left, she started this network. She used a lot of her connections because that's what one does, you know, if you have those connections. And she rapidly expanded to now 22 schools in just a period of less than 10 years. And that's a remarkable achievement. But she does use rather sharp elbows to get what she wants. She is located, all of her schools are inside regular city schools. That's not the case with all charters. Fewer than half of the charters are co-located, or about half of the 180 or so charters are co-located in regular city school buildings. Hers are all co-located. There was a series of email exchanges that the Daily News unearthed, so to speak, showing that she would write to the former school's chancellor, Joel Klein, and say, hey, how about that building? Or, you know, she knew people on the inside. So, you know, those who didn't have those connections and parents of children in those buildings that were suddenly receiving her schools were very angry about this. And they were also very angry because she would, you know, raise extra money and do whatever she could to make her schools look fantastic. She would renovate bathrooms. This was the type of thing I couldn't believe I was hearing as a reporter when I would go to one of her schools in Harlem and hear parents from the regular school in the building saying, you know, her bathroom looks better than ours. That's terrible. Our kids aren't allowed to use that bathroom. They can't walk down the hall. These are little things, but they really irk people. And I should also say that off the record, there are other charter operators who feel like she gives them a bad name because she's so aggressive. But in her defense, she's says, I'm doing a good job. My parents really want my schools. And by the way, my schools have really good results. Most of my kids are doing very well on the state exams. There are people who would say maybe she pushes out the kids who aren't doing as well, or they don't accept as many English language learner kids. For whatever reasons, she is doing very well with her schools by all objective criteria.
Well, let me drill down on that a little bit. Has she had more success as measured by the objective criteria of, I guess, standardized test scores than other charter operators? And is there evidence that she is being selective or pushing some kids out once they're in different ways than she's supposed to? Because it's supposed to be entrance only by lottery, precisely so that it retains this sort of public function. It's not like a private school where they can just pick and choose who they think is going to succeed.
Right. Now, she says that she takes a larger percentage of special education kids in some of her schools than the citywide norm. But it's very difficult for charters in general to serve the neediest special education students who require the small, intensive classrooms. They don't usually have the space or the staff to do that. Now, as for are you kicking kids out, we were unable to prove that. We did a series on that about a year and a half ago on WNYC where we looked at attrition rates at charters. Her attrition rates really weren't higher than average. And charters on average weren't higher than the regular city schools. But there were sections of the city, notably Harlem, where she has a lot of schools, where the charters and the local schools had very, very high attrition. And what we could not prove was that they were pushing kids out. We saw a lot of churn, maybe you want to call it, because there's so much choice in Harlem with the proliferation of charters in there. But anecdotally, Brian, we heard again and again from parents of children in charters, my child had to go to detention because he or she wasn't following all of the rules, or my child was going to be held back a grade because they have stricter criteria for going on to the next grade than the regular city schools. So they would take their children out of the charters, including Success Academy, because they felt like they were too strict and put them in the regular city schools. So while we could not prove that they were systematically throwing kids out, we did hear a lot of anecdotes, and we saw some data that suggested that in some charters there was higher attrition than normal, but it was also slowing. So it was hard to prove, but you will hear those anecdotes repeatedly from people.
WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig on Bill de Blasio, Eva Moskowitz, and the charter school debate, which was in full flower this week. She also pays herself, I think it's $450,000 a year, I read, to run her 22 schools, which is twice as much as the chancellor makes. Does that salary come from our tax dollars?
No, it does not. That's a privately run school. Well, one could say that the children are getting tax dollars because the money follows the kids, right? The state gives money per pupil. It does not give building aid. So that's part of the reason why former Mayor Bloomberg gave the charters free space, because they were not getting money from the state to pay rent. In other cities, they have to raise money to pay rent, but New York is so expensive that he gave them space in city school buildings. She says she's paid that much because of her board, her foundation, raising money, and Robert Lewis is going to be able to talk about from WNYC how these charters are funded. You know, there's a lot of former Wall Street people, hedge fund people who believe that this is an important cause. Maybe they're against the unions. Maybe they just want to help kids in the inner city have alternatives to regular public schools, but her organization has raised a lot of money, and she will tell you, well, look, they believe I'm worth it, and that's what they want to pay me. It's a board. I don't just pay myself. So, you know, there's other charter operators who are paid that much. Deborah Kenny of Harlem Village Academy makes something in that territory. I believe Jeff Canada's salary, although he ran the Harlem Children's Zone, that's a much bigger operation, you know, not just charter schools. But there are a few of them that are paid quite well. But again, that's determined by their boards.
I want to play a clip of a caller to this show from earlier this week. This is Mokhtar in the Bronx. And he was unhappy that his child's charter school was stopped by the mayor from, I believe, expanding into middle school next year. Listen.
He come in and cut charter school just like that. That's the only hope we have over here. I don't know about other people, but for me, as a person who live in the South Bronx, the only thing that matter to me up here is crime and school. Other than that, you know, I don't think anything. So if he cut charter school, he's gonna like have a real problem with a lot of parents that I know over here in the South Bronx. Because, like I said, that's the only hope we have over here.
So there's a constituency that should be a de Blasio-friendly constituency. Why would the mayor stop a plan that appears to be serving low-income immigrant kids to the satisfaction of a parent like that?
Well, you'll have to ask him. His answer is that he wants to be fair to all children, and that charters, especially if they're going to be co-located in city space, need to be scrutinized to see if they're going to be displacing any kids, and he wants to serve all of the children of the city. But yes, this is something that's rubbed a lot of nerves because the people it affects are in communities that feel like their regular public schools are not adequate and they want this choice.
And by the way, Beth, there's a development this morning. I don't know if you've seen this yet. The school's chancellor, Carmen Farina,
yes,
has, and I'm reading from the local news website, I'm reading from the New York Post website, actually, did a 180 today and said she's looking to find new classrooms for some 200 students displaced when the city blocked a highly rated charter school from sharing a public school building in Harlem. Quote, "We're looking for additional space that might accommodate the Success Academy," Farina said on Fox 5's Good Day New York show this morning. The chancellor had said the middle school kids were on their own. On reflection, Farina said that was a mistake. Quote, "I shouldn't have said it. I had just come off a meeting. I'd done a lot of things. They stick a mic in your face. Did I mean it? No."
Right. And there was a huge ad in the New York Times yesterday that showed the faces of those 194 children from that Success Academy elementary school who would not be able to go to their middle school because the city blocked it from opening inside another school building in Harlem. So that was a pretty big blowback, and it did not look good for the chancellor to say, hey, they're on their own. Now, she also said there's other Success Academy middle schools that they could apply to, but Eva Moskowitz said, hey, my schools are full. I can't just take them all. These kids were expected to go someplace else. So now it sounds like the chancellor is compromising a bit.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio. And let's take a call. Olivia in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I'm a public school advocate. I believe in public education. I wish all this energy and money were going into the public schools, and I kind of see charter schools as a drain on public education and maybe an attempt by some to undermine public education. But
why not see it as a choice after hearing your fellow Bronx resident Mokhtar there?
Well, if the public schools were as good as they were when I went, you wouldn't need that choice. But aside from that, my understanding is that some of these are run by or owned by, I'm not sure, hedge funds or hedge fund people, and I'm wondering what is going on here. Hedge funds are interested in profit and making money. Schools are not profit generators as a rule, and so I question that whole interaction. And the idea of taking space away from public schools, you're taking away their gyms, their music rooms, their labs, to make room for these other institutions that I'm not sure who's running them.
Yeah, great question. And Olivia, I'm going to leave it there, and I'm going to get you an answer. And by the way, this came up when the mayor was on Hot 97 yesterday with Dardo and Rosenberg. And this clip starts with Ibro Darden, with the mayor, on the hedge funds and the charter schools.
Let me jump in here, because the audience may not know. The charter schools, a lot of them are funded by big business. Is that true or not?
Oh, yeah. A lot of them are funded by very wealthy Wall Street folks and others. And that doesn't mean the schools don't do good work. But absolutely, there's a very strong private sector element here.
And is that where this whole this whole campaign that de Blasio is anti-charter is being funded by big business?
Who's already upset that you're in office and not their guy, Bloomberg, to start out with?
I think you're providing a keen political analysis here.
And I think that's Dardo and Rosenberg's debut on public radio. But, Beth, it wouldn't be accurate to say that the hedge fund managers own charter schools because they're not-for-profit organizations. So what is this relationship that that the mayor was acknowledging exists?
I think it's that there are a number of people who have chosen to invest in these charters because they philosophically believe in them as a choice for public school parents. They think it's the civil rights issue of the day, and they oppose the power that unions have. And it's a way for them to contribute. So it's their choice to, donate their money to this cause, so to speak. But then there are people who say that they distrust that association, and the hedge fund people would say, well, the unions have so much power, or the charter people would say, why not let other people have a say? But it's who do you support? You know, it's just a question of everything is supported by somebody and given money by somebody. So that's, you know, and that's why our Robert Lewis took a look at the lobbying group Families for Excellent Schools, which, placed the ad yesterday in the New York Times and helped send all the people to Albany with Eva Moskowitz and some other charter operators this week.
Thank you for the segue, because also joining us now is WNYC's Robert Lewis from our investigative team, who looked into the finances of the organized charter school lobby this week. Hi, Robert.
Hello.
What is the group that you investigated?
So the name of the group is Families for Excellent Schools, which is a nonprofit that actually formed in 2011, but probably didn't get much notice until really the last couple months. They were behind the rally or helped organize the rally. They're behind a multi-million-dollar ad campaign that's been running on local television. They're the ones that placed the ad in the New York Times. They started a website, charterswork.org. So they've really been putting a lot of resources into this fight.
And your piece included this clip from their multi-million-dollar TV advertising campaign.
I voted for Mayor de Blasio because he talked about looking out for the have-nots.
Mayor Bill de Blasio talks about the tale of two cities, but yet he wants to take away options from the communities that need it the most.
Despite the success of public charter schools, Mayor de Blasio wants to stop them from opening and expanding.
So, Robert Lewis, where does their money come from for expensive issue ads like that?
Well, so it's a little bit difficult to determine what they've been getting recently, but we can start to get a sense of how they formed and where their initial funding came from, looking at tax filings. And a lot of it comes from sort of the usual suspects. So that sounds so negative. The usual sources for the charter movement, a lot of major foundations, the big one being the Walton Family Foundation of Walmart fame. They self-disclosed on their website that they gave $700,000, more than $700,000 over the last 2 years. A couple other big foundations. The Broad Foundation gave $200,000 in 2012. The Carmen and Lucia Buck Foundation, they gave $200,000 in fiscal year 2013. And it's going to be interesting as more of these filings come out to see who's really been bankrolling the current campaign, which is incredible.
So same question I asked Beth. Is it clear to you, or do you have clues from your research, what the hedge fund or private equity community's interest is in charter schools? I mean, you know, when the Koch brothers give to groups to stop climate regulation, you know, a lot of their money comes from fossil fuels. Their interests are clear. But what about the concentration of private equity moguls? I think you said four out of the five board members, is that right, this group?
That's correct. Four out of the five founding board members are they're Wall Street guys. They're largely private equity, venture capital. These are big-time investors who are sitting on the board of this organization.
So what is that community, if we can say, you know, there's a little concentration in that community that is so behind this? If this is mostly a debate over which kinds of not-for-profit schools educate poor kids?
Well, you know, if you talk to sort of the group itself, I mean, as Beth said, there does seem to be this ideological drive there, this belief that public education just hasn't been working, it's broken, and that there's a better system, and that they believe in sort of education reform as the civil rights movement of their time. I mean, that's one of the sort of things you'll often hear. I mean, you talk to the union-backed groups and you talk to the other side, and of course they sort of raise their eyebrows at the fact you see Wall Street players. They immediately question, you know, is there an ultimate payoff there? But, you know, I haven't seen in these four individuals that I've taken a look at, I haven't necessarily gotten a sense that there's a direct payoff as a result of their
involvement. Is there an Eva Moskowitz connection to this group?
A little bit. It'll be interesting. Again, it'll be interesting to see going forward as more records come out how strong that connection is. The connection that I found currently is one of the funders of this organization is affiliated with her husband. Her husband is involved in it. So there is at least some connection.
And Beth, I know you got to go in a minute. I want to get your reaction to one more thing here. Governor Cuomo seems to be tight with this group that Robert looked into. In fact, progressive Democrats may have been stunned to hear Governor Cuomo shouting his support at a pro-charter rally in Albany this week. Here's a few seconds of that.
I feel fired up! We are going
So the headlines following that event were like, Cuomo is playing de Blasio like a cat with a mouse. Cuomo is using de Blasio as his foil, that kind of thing. But Beth, if we can assume that this isn't just about the $100,000 of campaign donations to Cuomo that Robert reported on from the pro-charter lobby members, is the governor just an unabashed ally of charters, like that clip makes it sound, for philosophical reasons?
He's supported them, definitely, in the past. And he's also said that, and he used this line the other day, which he's used in the past, that education shouldn't just be about the unions and the pensions and, that it should be about the children. So he's portraying himself or setting himself up as a very moderate Democrat, you know, who's friendly to unions on one hand, but also willing to break from them on another. And charters is a pro-parent type of stance that he says he's taking.
Beth Fertig, WNYC education reporter, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And we'll just finish up with Robert Lewis for another minute, because Robert, your piece referred to the group as being eligible to take anonymous donations. Do they get a lot of that?
Time is going to tell. The unfortunate thing with the tax filings is by the time they come out, they're 2 years old, basically. They are organized as both a 501c3 and they have a 501c4. 501c4s have been in the news a lot lately. These are the so-called dark money groups. These are groups that are allowed to raise sort of these large anonymous sums of money and engage in the political process. It's interesting to see these guys are actually falling very much into a whole nother discussion beyond charter schools, but just about campaign finance.
And were you able to dig up anything else on the relationship between Cuomo and this lobby group, or get at some of the motivations there? You might think that Democrats in general in high positions would be more friendly to the teachers' union and would be more skeptical of the way the charter movement has progressed.
As you sort of mentioned, I did take a look at some of the campaign contributions. He's certainly benefited from the charter supporters. Taking a look just at the charter school PACs, the political action committees, he's gotten $100,000 in campaign contributions in the last couple years. It's a pretty conservative estimate because there's a lot of other people involved that sort of pushes the total from supporters much higher. That being said, I talked to the governor's office and they said, look, we've supported this from the beginning on the merits, and that's why we're supporting it. So that's their position.
WNYC's Robert Lewis from our investigative unit. You can hear his report on our website at WNYC.org as he looked into that pro-charter New York State lobby group. Robert, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Melanie Notkin, author of Otherhood, which is about women who have what she calls circumstantial infertility. She'll explain, and we'll take your calls if you think you're one of them. Stay with us.